Yes, I'm seeing more distressed self-storage on the market today. It's something I didn't see a whole lot earlier in my career, but it looks different than it used to. Let's talk about that today. My name's Mark Helm. I'm the author of Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage, and I'm the creator of the Quick Start Academy. And the Quick Start Academy houses the training that I do offer. My newest course is Fundraising for the Small Self-Storage Investor, and you can find out more about that course at creatingwealththroughselfstorage.com. Now, I can remember telling people a few years ago and early in my career, you probably don't want distress self-storage. It's distress for a reason, and it's usually distress because there's a fundamental problem in the market area that you can't solve, like overbuilding. I don't say that anymore. I don't say that anymore after the overbuilding craze that we had from 2015 on, and I don't say it anymore since we've had the interest rate hikes and construction cost hikes that we've seen in the past couple years. Let me share with you the kind of distressed properties I get excited about today. I'm seeing a number of properties that are brand new, just got CO, or have been in lease up for a few months, hitting the market. Now, historically, these look like the furthest thing from distressed properties they are. They're brand new, they're shiny. But as I begin to analyze them and look at them, all indications are they're distressed. Why? Well, first of all, the bank says so. Secondly, from what I can see, they're upside down. A few weeks ago, in one of the previous episodes, I talked about just such a property. It was about a 50,000 square foot property in a smallish, but, you know, not rural, but smaller market. It had just opened up. They were at about 5% physical occupancy, maybe less than 1 point something percent economic occupancy. I looked at what they were charging in rents, and I extrapolated out what it would, at 85% occupancy, what their income would be. I know what it costs to run a facility of that type. And it looked to me like it was about $2.7 to $3 million in value. I'll guarantee you it cost them $4.3 to build that thing. This is what a distressed project in the 2020s looks like. Why did these assets underperform? Well, I think there's two main reasons. One, the overbuilding craze. And two, the economic landscape, the interest rate hikes and the construction cost hikes we've experienced. Let me talk about those for just a second. There are soon to be more of the type of property I just talked about hitting the market. If you haven't started seeing them already, there's going to be a lot more coming. If self-storage has a downside, you hear me talk a lot about the upside of storage, but if self-storage has a downside, the downside is how long it takes. Storage can be very slow motion. I mean, think about it. It takes you about a year to entitle a piece of property. It might take another 6 months to a year, probably 10 months to build the property. Then it takes another, we lease up slower than apartments. It'll probably take another 30, 36 months to hit stabilization. Maybe on a small project, 24 to 26 months to hit stabilization. We're usually profitable on a good project at a 55, 60% occupancy. Now, a lot can happen in a 3 to 5 year kind of time period. Big projects, it can be year four before you're stabilized. A lot can happen. Economic, as you've seen economically and in that trade area in 4 to 5 years. What if during that time, rents went down 15 to 20%, interest rates doubled, and what you were able to borrow the money on, the future value you were able to borrow the money on. They used a 5 cap when they underwrote it. What if those cap rates are now 7%? Well, that's what's happened. Voila, you have a distressed self-storage facility. Now, for overbuilding, I went on a rant in the last episode, and I'm not going to do that. Just suffice it to say that approximately the last stat I heard was about 60% of the funds investing large amounts of money in the self-storage space didn't exist 5 years ago. They have never been around during some of the downturns in this economic cycle. And they put a lot of money in. They bought a lot of the 5 caps. I sold my projects to them on the, you know, mid 4s, upper 4s, and low 5 caps. And then when they couldn't find any more of those, what do? They build, and they build big because they've got a lot of money to move out the door. So we've never gone into a slowdown in the economy with this much inventory on the market. And also think about the deals that were done in 2016, 17, 18. Those loans, most of those loans, if they were bank loans, are coming due and they've got to refinance them. And now interest rates are double and cap rates have gone up to 3%. You're going to see a lot of those hitting the market too. My experience from 2008 tells me that when those loans come due, the banks are going to have some fun conversation with many owners saying, you got to put some cash in this deal or sell it. Those are the ones that are going to hit the market. So don't be fooled. In 2020s, distressed self-storage can be bright and shiny and look new, and in some cases, maybe even be full. Now, the real art is going to be buying this type of distressed asset. The older, clunky, older, torn down, empty, everyone's clear how you buy those. You buy those at a low price. There's a real art to buying shiny, new, distressed property. And the art's going to involve the seller and most likely the lender as well. Now, the way I suggest you buy these is, one, come up with what you can pay. How you do that is you run a lease-up analysis and you use what's currently going on. If they've been open 3 months and are at 2% occupancy, they're leasing up at 1% a month. And I'm just making that up. But don't, I've leased up at 5% and 4% and 10%. Use what's currently going on in that facility and use the current rates that they're charging, not what the street rates are, not what the market rates are, not what the feasibility report says, not what Radius Plus report. Use the current rates that they are getting now. Extrapolate how long it's going to take you to hit stabilization at that lease up. What's the value going to be using those rates? And that's the number. That's your starting place. That's the number. Then put a 7% cap rate on it. That's the value. That doesn't mean that's what you pay. You base what you offer, but you got to know that number. You got to know, let's say at a 7 cap, what the value is, and then what is your profit margin, and what is the risk of that deal, and that's the number you want to offer. Now, a lot of wealth can be created during these downtimes. In fact, more wealth is usually created in downtimes than uptimes. So if the seller doesn't want to take your offer, and odds are they won't, that's fine. Wait. If somebody's willing to pay more, that's fine. Let them. There's going to be more of these properties coming. But I remember in 2008, there was a term I learned. I really hadn't heard much before, but it was called short sale. In the conversations with the lenders, you have these conversations with a lender, telling the lender what you think the value is going to be. They might not like it, but they're going to understand it. Why? Because they're coming up with the same conclusions you are. Now, I remember in 08, I watched a guy out of Indianapolis really double, triple, quadruple his portfolio during these times. And what he would do is he would come up with that value, and he would talk to lenders, and he would say, look, here, this thing's leasing up slow, it's underperforming, here's the rents, here's what I can pay for this asset. And if you will let short sale to me and let me buy this asset, here's my business plan, here's how I intend to get the profitability, but if you let me buy this asset and give me the loan on this, I will buy another foreclosed on property you're holding in your portfolio that you want to get rid of. Oh, and by the way, I'll probably need the loan on that one too, but I'll take one of your bank-owned properties off your hands. Or if, let's say you have another asset that the loan is rolling up on and you've got to refinance it, and you're in a pretty good loan-to-value situation, i.e. safe loan for the bank, you go to the bank, say, this is what I can pay for this asset, I need the loan on it, but if you'll put a loan on, help me refinance this one at a 58% loan to value or 62 or whatever it is, and you put the loan on this, I'll let you refinance this loan, and here's the historical cash flow on this. If you'll sell me this asset at what I really need to buy it at, and here's my business plan for that asset. I watched this guy just do very well during the 08 recession. We're only limited by our thinking. Start thinking benefits when you're talking to the sellers and when you're talking to the banks. What are the benefits of them selling to you at the price you need? What kind of benefits can you bring to the table for them? And benefits for benefits. That's how, during these times, I think you get ahead buying distressed self-storage. Many of us have known only one way to be in the self-storage business, because we've only been in the self-storage business when it was blowing and going. In my opinion, it's a time to be cautious, but be ready to pounce. As an industry, we've never experienced this, a downturn with this much product on the market. So be careful in your underwriting. Be cautious in your analysis. The benefit of being a small investor is we can pivot and we can move fast. My goal for you is that you pivot into some new and exciting opportunities over the next year or so. Thank you very much. My name's Mark Helm. I'm the author of Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage, and I'm the creator of the Storage World Analyzer. That's the financial analysis tool we use to analyze those situations, those opportunities that we're seeing in the self-storage market today. If you're using Excel, great. I invite you to consider and give the analyzer a test run. StorageWorldAnalyzer.com. Thank you, and I look forward to being with you next week.